tuning in. It has been a very enlightening week for me. Some great conversations on last episode's topic, and this is just going to be a quick continuation of that, of our thoughts versus his truth. And I just want to say I hope that that episode specifically really created some leading to who God is and what he says. But before that, let me go ahead and get us started in a little prayer, and then we'll get into this episode. Heavenly Father, we just come to you today with a grateful and loving heart for you and all the things that you do for each one of us that you have specifically designed and created us to be. Father, I'm so thankful that you have provided me this opportunity and this platform to share what you have put on my heart, to learn of who you truly are. Lord, I ask that these words fall on the hearts of the men who are, every man who is listening and every man who truly wants to have a full relationship with you, Lord, that you would just use these words that you have put on my heart to reach the men that you have dedicated them to reach, and just allow them to be the men that you have created them to be in their families, in their churches, in their communities, in their countries. Lord, you have built us for your purposes, and we are so thankful and grateful for that love that you have for each one of us, that we may be who you created us to be. It is in your Son, Yeshua's mighty and holy name, we thank you for, we ask, and we pray all of these things. All right, man, so here we go. So this last week we were talking about, don't let our thoughts of what God said or what God meant in his writings in the Bible. And one of my mentors, Mr. Mike, has brought a lot of things that need, I guess, to be addressed when we start looking at this, because by no means is it my will or intent to mislead or misguide anyone and what God's word is saying. Like again, I said, he puts these things on my heart. Like I said before on previous episodes, that I wasn't born in the church. I didn't grow up in a church. So all of these things that I share with you are through prayer and through begging and asking him for his wisdom in these words, to show me his truth, to open my eyes, because I am way behind compared to some that have been studying his word a lot longer than mine. So I truly am grateful for the opportunity of the men that he has surrounded me with and put forth in my life to show me his truths through us communicating with each other and sharing our lives with each other and questioning what we think about God's word and their experience and just everything that he has put in them to share with me to further grow how he wants me to see his word and his meaning. So with that being said, there's a couple of things we were talking and discussing about. He brought up Romans 7, 14 through 25, where Paul is talking about, I do the things I don't want to do, right? And you can go and read it. But it Romans 7, 14 through 25. And either way you look at it, whether Paul is not talking about himself when he uses the word I, whether he's not talking about himself, or he is putting himself in the position of someone like a Pharisees or Sadducees or someone who is caught up in the Mosaic law. Either way, it is But whether you're a theologian or not, I think it's pretty well understood that it is not someone who has accepted Jesus Christ yet. It's from that point of view that he is stating that, hey, if you don't have Jesus Christ, all of these things you are subject to. All these things you will continue to fight and you will fail under the law. Not that the law is bad, but the law brings out and shows us our shortcomings in it. Therefore, we continue to sin because we find it hopeless. And then in Romans 8, he talks about, but thanks be to Jesus Christ, we no longer live by the flesh, we live by the Spirit. And we have to take Romans 8 in full of the power and glory of Jesus Christ. That yes, before we were saved, we were Romans 7. But now through the power and glory of Jesus Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection, that we now are no longer Romans 7, we are now Romans 8. And from that point on, telling us and confirming us who we are in Christ and the power that is in his resurrection and now lives in us through the Holy Spirit. So we can't read it with the emotion, even though we relate to Romans 7 as a sinner. We can no longer relate to it now that we are in Jesus Christ. Like I said before, Jesus Christ, our acceptance of Jesus Christ and the baptism of our belief in him with the Holy Spirit now says we no longer live by the flesh, we live by the Spirit. And it's one of the thoughts I was thinking that, you know, that the church, this is just my opinion and how I feel, is that we continually, the corporate church continually focuses on, I think, and where I see it's missing is we continue to fall back on Adam and us being of Adam. And I'm not saying that we're not, because up until the point we accept Jesus Christ into our life as our Lord and Savior, yes, we are all of that. But Jesus says, I mean, the Bible says, and Jesus confirms that once we accept Jesus Christ, we are no longer of Adam, we are of Jesus. And we have to take hold of that truth, and we have to live in that truth. He has to increase in us, and we have to decrease, right? Does it take a time period for us to get to a point in our faith where there is no doubt, there is no questions? I mean, like I said before, there's two type of questions. You can ask God, is this what you are? Or can you, or please show me how or what your meaning and purpose for me in your word is. Two different lines of questioning. I think that makes sense. It makes sense in my mind. I don't know if it's coming out in a logical or intangible way that makes it easy for you to understand. I pray that it does, and I know God will work his words into what you need to understand, and I trust in that fully, 100%. And so those things, that's what hit me, is the church focuses on the Adam part of it and not the true saving power of Jesus Christ, and not focusing on strengthening and growing our trust and belief in him, in that we are a new creation. We need to focus on the new creation, right? There are going to be times, as in other parts of the New Testament, that I think some of the writers are talking more about those of new faith and helping some of the issues they will face in growing their faith in Jesus Christ. Right? And like I said, this is not anything we can do. Again, it is all through the power and glory of Jesus, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit that now live inside of us And we have to focus on that. We can't worry about what we used to be. We can understand what we used to be. We can understand how lost we were, how far away from God we were. But now we're not. Once we accept Jesus Christ, that the old is dead, the new is here. And we have to focus on that. And we have to focus on Jesus' life, right? And he uses Peter, Paul, Timothy, all of these to explain and give us examples of what it looks like. When Paul talks about these things, it's in a very matter of fact. He has, in the way I read it, in his word, he has the truth and authority of Jesus Christ in him. And he speaks it that, hey, look, I was these, or whoever, the reader, us, I was these things. These are the things I battled with. These are the things that you will battle with until you come to faith in Jesus Christ. Once you come to faith in Jesus Christ, it changes everything. You no longer live by the flesh. Even though our spirit is contained in the flesh, his power is greater than the flesh. And if we truly believe, again, every word that is in the Bible is God breathed, then we have to take hold of every truth that is in the Bible. Now, with that discussion comes another question that we start, our thoughts start to analyze God's word. And we start to think, well, the literary motivation or modality of how they wrote this was an exaggeration. Just to make a point. And I get that, and I fully understand that. And in some cases, we see where that is being used, let me get the verse right quick. Well, anyway, in Matthew, where it's talking about gouging out your eye because it causes you to sin, right? We understand that Jesus really didn't mean to gouge out your eye, but it doesn't change the what he's trying to say. And I think that's the part we have to look at. Yeah, he used an exaggerated gouge out your eye, but what he's saying is how important that is to make sure with every tool we have, to the point of gouging out our eye or cutting off our hand, right? Not to sin. Right, that we cannot no longer have those type of thoughts because of our faith in him. If we have those thoughts, then we should do that, because that's how bad it is as a follower and faithful follower of Jesus Christ, the Father, right? The Father God, that we can't, as Christians and followers of Jesus Christ, we should cut off our hands, because what difference does it make, right? This body's going to die anyway. It's not our true form. So you can cut out your eye or you can cut off your hand. He's saying that it doesn't make a difference. The faith in me, in the spirit, has already cut it off, has already cut off those type of thoughts, that we take every thought captive and filter it through the word of God. And we see, and when we ask, we cut those kind of thoughts off in the beginning. So we have to take control of our minds. And we do that by having 100% faith that the Bible is God-breathed. Right? No, we can't let our thoughts say, well, maybe he didn't mean that. Because when we start doing that, that leads us into a place where we start to think that we know more than what God meant for this word to mean, right? And I think it's more important not to worry about the literary style that it was written in, not to let our thoughts think that we know what God is saying. Because in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, So are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts? So we can't, through our, I don't know what's the word I'm looking for here, our intellectual abilities, start to question what God is saying, right? I think that it is natural that we see some of these things and we're like, okay, well, he didn't mean cut off your hand or cut off your eye. And I'm saying that maybe he did. If Jesus said it, I just don't see our God as one that chooses to mince his words. I mean, when God says it, it happens, right? And Jesus is the Son of God, who all things were given to, all authority on this earth now belong to Jesus in the heavens and on the earth, right? All things belong to Jesus Christ. So that means this body, this fleshly body that we live in, belong to Jesus Christ because he's the creator. Go all the way back to a couple episodes ago as well. My point is this: don't let our thoughts and our intellectual abilities think that we know or understand the full meaning of what God's words is, what God's word are or mean through an intellectual filter. We need to be spiritual beings, and we need to be in prayer, asking for clarification, asking for understanding, asking him to show us, okay, not that this isn't true, but what does it mean and how do I use it to glorify your kingdom? That's the point, and that's where we have to get to, right? We have to be in that position where everything goes through God. If we want to understand God's word, we can look for certain tools that he has given us that align with his truth and his power and his glory of other authors who have asked, or people of greater intelligence than myself, because God knows who he created. But we have to go to God for the answers we are seeking in his word, not other men, in far as philosophers, theologians, right? Because at some point, our minds corrupt, our thoughts corrupt, or are corruptible by Satan in thinking, again, like I said, I keep coming back to this point, that Satan used for Adam and Eve. Did God really say you would die if you eat this fruit? That questioning through our thoughts is big trouble. That's where we get into thinking, well, you know, it means this or it means that, or no. Men, listen, God's word is God's word. When Jesus says that if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can tell that mountain to move and it will move, right? And I truly 100% believe that. But we look at the power and glory and how God looks at things, right? And we understand his timeline, again, is different than our timeline. But if Jesus says we have that power, that little much of faith, that we can do these things, we can do these things. It's kind of like God told Abraham, hey, leave your family and go. I'm going to take you to the promised land. Though he never physically in the flesh seen that fruition of God's promise to him, he's still seen it nonetheless from heaven. And we have to wrap our minds around that point, that God's promises always come true. God fulfills his promises to us, and we have to stand on those promises, right? So how it's written doesn't change the fact that God spoke it, that God breathed it into this man's heart and he put it down on a piece of paper. And God is not one to mince or match his words to confuse us. God is not a God of confusion. He is a God of clarity and understanding and love. And we have to stand on that fact. So I think what Jesus is saying in that, yes, you can move it. Because if we don't have that faith, then we start, if we don't stand on his truth through our faith in that every word in here is God breathed, that it can happen. The way I look at it is this. If we doubt the power of God the Father through the Son by the Holy Spirit in us, so we're saying that the Red Seas weren't parted by God and Moses. We're saying that the God who created this planet couldn't say, you know what? I don't like where that mountain's in, where it's at right now. And tomorrow you wake up and it's in a different place. I believe our God and his power, the creator of this universe, could do so. Now, why he doesn't? He said it's good. It is good. His creation was good. He was happy with what he created. Right? His love for us in his creation to have relationship with him is for us to believe his word. And through him, if we choose for a righteous purpose, that if that mountain was causing great pain or something, whatever reason, if you just look at it in this, I don't know, analogy or whatever you want to call it, and we said, by the power of Jesus Christ, by my God, mountain move. It couldn't move. It couldn't move then. It could move 40 years from now. Or as my buddy Justin that has day 41 clothing and apparel, it could mean, hey, on the 41st day, it's going to be gone. It's going to be somewhere else. And that is the power of our God. And it doesn't matter. Jesus' name is the power. The Father's name through his Son by the Holy Spirit is the power we have living in us. And we cannot let our thoughts confuse it. We cannot let Satan get into our thoughts and take that away from us, take that faith away from us. Because if we doubt that faith, that our faith could move that mountain, then we have to doubt the faith that it takes to believe that Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead. It's all connected. So if we have faith that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who through no one else comes to the Father except through him, was resurrected on the third day, as we know, there's witnesses, over 500 different people, right? And not just your average Joes, people who had stature and people who seen his death on the cross. All of that becomes questionable. And that's exactly what Satan wants to do in our mind. Jesus wants us to have complete faith in him and who he is, and by proxy provides us with the Holy Spirit to clarify and answer our doubts, where we need understanding to grow more in his word, because his word doesn't waver. His truths do not waver in the Bible. So if we're truly looking at that from that standpoint, is that Jesus is Jesus. Jesus walked on this earth. He is God in man form in the flesh, 100%. But if we start to question, or did he really mean that, then we have to start to question, is he who he said he was? Just like the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the people who were caught up in the Mosaic law, right? You can't doubt. And I think that's the whole point of this. Is, yes, we understand that And he has given us the ability to learn and to create things as he did, because we are in his image. And I get it and I understand it. But it never the servant is never greater than the master, right? The student is never greater than the teacher. Can we be on the same level? I think we can, because Jesus says, you will do greater things than I do, right? Because I'm going to provide you a helper, the Holy Spirit, who searches the mind of God, therefore is God himself, is God sharing us his wisdom, his thoughts, his what we can handle in our, where we are at in our sanctification process, or growth in faith, if you want to call it that, that he can do these things. And we can't doubt. We can't look at, well, what if some dude way smarter than me says, well, you know what? I don't think that that's what Jesus is saying. I've analyzed it. No, we have to have faith in his word through our hearts. Do we understand that? Yes, he doesn't want us to probably rip out our eye, but that if it continues to happen after him, then that's what we should do, because we have to destroy Satan. And if demon possessed or demon controlled flesh continues to cause us to go against the will of God, then he's saying, then go ahead, tear out your eye. Because it's more worth a part being without a part of the body than it is to continue in that sin nature. And when we get to heaven, we will be, or when we leave this earth, whether it be death or whether it be the day that Jesus returns, that we will be in our perfected bodies that he intended it to be. The body, our spirit, everything, right? But he's saying you have that power now because I gave you my son who showed you that it could be done. And now the power that he had in him, I am now providing to you through the Holy Spirit. And we have to start focusing on that. That when we look at something that says we struggle, or we say we're having this trouble, whether it be Paul or Peter or whoever the new writers of the epistles in the New Testament are, it doesn't matter. The fact is, we have to stand alone on those truths, that we have the Holy Spirit, that we can overcome every temptation that Satan may put before us, just like Job, right? Because it's the power, not ours, not that we can do it on our own, but it is the power of the blessing of the Holy Spirit through our faith in Jesus Christ that gives us that power. And I'm not going to limit that power in my mind to think that I can't do something because I'm still living in the flesh. My thought should be, I can do this because the power of God is living inside of me. Like I was talking to my wife yesterday when we were kind of discussing this and throwing this around too, I'm like, why do we not go and heal people? Because it's just like Peter. When he stepped out of that boat, he had all the confidence in the world of who God was and who he is. But he started looking at things around him and he doubted who Christ was. And we can't doubt. That's the reason we don't go around healing people, because we don't have the faith. Even though I'm talking about it, I don't know. And I think it's more of a fear that it's not in God's will that I do that, and it not happen, and then somebody look bad at God. Because they look at me and say, yeah, you're just a crazy dude, right? But if I had the faith to believe that when I laid my hands on somebody or touch somebody that I can heal them, then we should be able to do it as Christians, as followers of Christ. All the disciples did it, right? And they had that much faith. They seen the resurrected Christ. So we have to believe that as believers in Christ through the Holy Spirit, and we are truly not living in the flesh, but we are living in the Spirit, that if we laid hands on somebody, because the Word of God tells us that we have the power to raise the dead as well, then we do. But it's because of our little faith and our doubt that Satan has put in our brain to be like, are you sure? So don't let your thoughts overpower God's truth. We have to take hold fully 100%, again, that every word in the Bible is God-breathed. And everything that is in the Bible is factual and true, and we do have that power. Now, as we read it, there may be some things that he uses as an example to make a point, but it doesn't change the underlying fact that that thing we can do. Does that make sense? I hope that makes sense. That, yeah, he may use terminology or things of that day to, I'm not going to say exaggerate, but overpower someone's thoughts of, wow, that's serious. And I think that's his point. But it doesn't change the underlying fact that what he said is the truth. He's just saying it in a way that we would understand, that makes it bigger to us so that we see the importance to him of that statement being made. Doesn't change the truth of it. It brings more attention to the light of, this is how important it is to the Father, to me. And you need to know that if I tell you cutting off your hand, doesn't matter what words I use, but the point is, it's better to cut it off than to continue living in sin. It doesn't change the underlying point, no matter what he uses, is that it is God's word. It is important to God that you no longer sin, that you live in the Spirit, not in the flesh. I hope that makes sense and kind of clarifies some of the statements that were made in the last episode. It's just something that God put on my heart. I'm still working through it and still asking people wiser than me that have walked with the Lord and been in the Lord longer than me. But I also take that what he's putting on my heart and what I see and what I read when he puts it on my heart in the Bible to take it captive and to test it against his word, that it is the truth. And there should be no doubt in any follower of Jesus Christ, because of the Holy Spirit, when we go to the Holy Spirit and ask for clarification, guidance, and how we should be doing this, that this should be happening, that we do have that power. As God's creation and believers in Jesus Christ, we have the Holy Spirit living in us, and we need to start living in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Let go of the flesh. Don't say we have a tendency. No, we do not. If we truly have accepted Jesus Christ in our lives, we now have to change our thought process that Adam no longer lives in us. Jesus Christ lives in us. And if we think that we're still going to fall back into that, then where's our faith in Jesus Christ? Because he tells us that, the Bible tells us that we have that power in us. Just as the disciples did, going through the countryside, healing and preaching and all of the things that we're supposed to do, he has empowered us to do it so that we can do greater things than he did on this earth, that we can do more because of our faith in him. And when we have that faith of a mustard seed, we can do it. So as you, I don't know, I'm rambling, I'm gonna have to cut it off here, but I just want us to understand and start focusing on the fact, don't let your thoughts think you know more than God, because we don't. And if we believe, again, 100%, that every word in the Bible is God breathed, then we have to take that to heart. We can't let Satan trick our thoughts into thinking it's not. We're not of Adam anymore. We are of Jesus Christ. And we have to take hold of that truth and fact and live our lives as humble servants only to the benefit of others. And the power that we have, not through us, we still need him and his power, because none of this we could do without him. His sacrifice on the cross and his resurrection is the thing that gives us the power, right? We were sinners. We were dead to Christ. We were dead to the Father. But when we accept Jesus Christ into our hearts and believe that he is the Son of God, that he came to this earth to fulfill every prophecy that is in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that he fulfilled every one of them, that everything that he spoke is truth, then that is the faith required to do the things that the disciples did. And that, as men, is where we should be walking in Christ. That we, not because of us, but because of him and the gift that he has given us through our belief in him, we now have. And we have to take hold of that. We have to take control of that. We have to take ownership that he said it, it's real, and we can do it. Now, I'm still learning on what that looks like. So I'm not there. I mean, this is what he says. Now, how does that look? I'm not even for sure. I'm still learning that. But I'm asking him every day to show me, what does that look like? How do I not to abuse the power that I've been given for my gain, but for his glory? And like I said, I'll be honest. I don't know, but this is what he's telling me. And I'm still asking. All right, well, how do I use it? How do I apply it? How, not that it's not truth, that it's not fact that I can do these things, but how do I? I'm not questioning his authority and his truth and his who he is. I'm questioning how he wants to use it in and through me. And I think each one of us need to ask that same question. We're not questioning the truth of his word. We're questioning of how we are to apply it in the examples that we have in the Bible. I hope that makes sense, man. I just wanted to get this one out. Like I said, leaving for Trace Diaz this morning. So I will probably be Tuesday, maybe Wednesday next week before I get out another episode. So please hang tight. Bear with me as I go to be a servant of Jesus and to experience the power and glory of the Holy Spirit working in the lives of the men who are going to Spirit of Grace Trace Diaz number 11. I'm excited. It's always an awesome experience to be there and to just be in the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's so humbling and glorifying and powerful. So I'll be there. And again, go check out Day 41 Clothing and Apparel. You can find them on Facebook or Instagram. They're all over the place. And it's just been a honor to meet and starting to get to know the owner of that and his faith and his walk. So go check out their shirts and their clothing and their hats and all that stuff. And as always, as you do what you do today, answer the call of men.